This episode of Healing Power Hour Radio is sponsored by Natural Hair Creations by Samaya, located only 5 minutes south of downtown Atlanta, specializing in all your natural hair care needs. Whether you have locks, twists, or other unique natural hairstyles, Samaya is your natural hair care specialist. For a free consultation or to schedule your appointment, call 404-226-5429. That's 404-226-5429. Natural Hair Creations by Samaya. Healing Power Hour with your host, Dr. Akila L. Greetings, everyone. This is Dr. Akila L., but you can call me Dr. Akila. And today we have a very informative broadcast to you, which is called Grocery Shopping the Healthy Way. Now, I might use that title. I might use Grocery Shopping 101 or Healthy Grocery Shopping. I have no idea. But this is for those who wish to learn more about healthy food choices and know how to shop for quality foods instead of foods that are on sale. Cheap food more than likely will not be healthy foods. So please keep that in mind, that when you wish to seek a healthy route, seek a healthy lifestyle of eating, you will have to budget for it, because healthy eating comes at a price, but so does sickness. And in my opinion, being sick and also being to the point where being unhealthy is very pricey. So in my opinion, when you pay for quality food, you will reap the benefits in the end, because you will not have to pay for medications or herbal supplements to rectify any unhealthy status or illnesses, or, you know, well-being. Well, you're not well-being, but you don't have to rectify any the unhealthy state of your body. So before I begin, you all should really thank one of my clients, Joycelyn Andrews, for this particular segment. Not only will this probably be a part two, but I also have another section due to her request called Healthy Eating, How to Eat Healthy. She's one of my clients, and she knows how to eat healthy, but she asked me on this email, how do you eat healthy? And, you know, I love all my clients, and sometimes I give them tough love. So I told her, I said, you're asking me something that you already was taught by me many years ago. What are you talking about? I'm not going to tell you anything new. But I understand the psychology of her, because it's really the common psychology of most people out there. They don't want to do the work. You all don't want to do the work. You want to take the magic pill and be, ta-da, you're okay. But it doesn't work that way. And that is why a lot of people get rich off your ignorance or get rich off your impatience, because you feel that if you can take this liquid, or, you know, eat this particular food or take this pill, all of your worries will be gone. You don't feel that you have to do any exercise. You don't feel that you have to do any water. You feel that you don't even have to count the quality calories in your eating regimen. You feel like you can eat anything you want. drink anything you want, stay up all night, get 2-3 hours of sleep every day, and be happy and healthy because you're taking this miracle pill. Sorry, there's never going to be a such thing. There is no shortcut to being healthy. It is a lifestyle change and not something you're doing temporarily so that you can fit into your skinny jeans. Now, let's go on, because this is going to be a long segment. This is going to be part one, because there's a lot of information out there that I realize that I don't even discuss. I do have to apologize because to everyone for assuming that what I know is common knowledge to you. I live in my own world and neglect the fact that there's a lot of things that you all don't know that I know from basically living this lifestyle for many, many, many years. So last night, oh my goodness, I went inside the grocery store with a pad and pencil, and I thought to myself, think like your clients, do not think like Dr. Akila. Go down each aisle and assume to buy what you think is a healthy food item based upon your limited knowledge, based upon the limited knowledge of your clients, not yourself. So I had to go in there, pretend that I'm just your average person who is uninformed of the type of foods out there that are very harmful, the type of foods that are not good for you. But also, I'm looking at the sticker price instead of the ingredients, because if you all heard my other broadcast, one of my ex-boyfriends used to hate to go to the grocery store with me because I would read the ingredients of foods that I was considering on buying based upon the price, and 10 times out of 10, the food that was cheaply priced was always bad for you, and I would always put it back on the shelf. So before I go into the aisles, and I have to say there's a part two, because I didn't get a chance to go through the whole entire store. I only went through half of it. I got tired because the whole process took an hour. Seriously, I could not believe how long I was in the store looking at the foods and writing all this information down for you to inform you of how to shop healthy instead of shopping cheap. So before I begin, let me explain to you some things that you need to understand, and you need to write this down because these are the key words you need to look for in the ingredients section. So when you pick up a particular food that you see is nicely priced or you may think is healthy, turn it around, and if it has any of these words in the ingredients, you need to put it back on the shelf. Here's another easy way to just tell if something is not good for you. If it consists of words that you can't pronounce, or if it seems like words that you have no knowledge of, you don't know it with certain type of, you don't know what food coloring 21 is. You have no idea what certain type of words are. So if you don't know what it means, put it back. So basically, if it just have natural words, words you know, like 100% stone ground wheat, you know that's good for you. Barley, you know that's good for you. Brown sugar, you know that's okay. That's all right. So these are words you're familiar with. But if you see other words on there, like monodiglyceride, you don't know what that is. So put that back. So basically, if it has those words in it that you are unfamiliar with, more likely they're not good for you. So put it back on the shelf. So, but let me tell you the common words you'll find in foods, because when I read off the list, I'm going to explain to you why I chose this food to be bad and why I chose this food to be decent, and then why I chose this food to be a good choice when you go to your average supermarket, okay? So let's start off with glycerides. Now, you'll see glycerides in a lot of this. I got notes everywhere, actually. You see glycerides. Glycerides are esters formed from glycerol and fatty acids. Now, esters are chemical compounds. So this is a chemically created fatty acid, and it's the bad fatty acid. You have essential fatty acids, which are fats that are good for the body because they're essential for the body. And then you have bad fatty acids, which are very bad for the body. And glycerides are bad fats and glycerols, okay? Anything with glycerides in it, put it back on the shelf. It's something you do not need in your diet or in your eating regimen, okay? And you know, another thing that has glycerides in it, soap. Your regular soaps have glyceride in it, and it's mixed with glyceride with sodium hydroxide. So why would you want to have a certain type of chemical that is used in the formation of soap in your food? Glycerides, they're a no-no. Okay. The next one is enriched. When I was on the bread section, I was in that section for the longest time. That took up most of my time, was the bread section. There's lots of breads to choose from. There's lots of good and bad breads there. And I noticed that the common word that was used in 80% of the breads that I picked up was the word enriched. Now, personally, I do not eat raised bread. And what I mean by raised bread, I don't eat breads that are like loaf of bread that has yeast in it that makes the yeast rise. Because breads, everybody want to know how I keep my stomach looking flat and you can see my six-pack? Well, I don't deal with yeast, and yeast is very high in breads that rise, like your biscuits, like your bagels, your loaf of breads, any type of sandwich bread that you find at your sub sandwiches places that make your sub sandwiches. I don't deal with that. So those, and also cakes have yeast in it. A lot of bakery foods that require the dough to rise have a lot of yeast, and I don't deal with yeast probably 95% of the time. When I'm doing my when I have my cheat day, yeah, I can eat it. But when I'm 95% of the time when I'm eating well, I don't include any bread that rise. And all the bread that I noted that were like the loaf breads there, or your English muffins, those had the yeast in it too. So the bagels, I don't deal with that. But they all had the word enriched. And enriched means a replacement of specific nutrients in the flour. So when you have breads that they take out the nutrients, they enrich it, which means they replace those nutrients, the quality nutrients that your body can assimilate. They took those out and replaced them with chemical nutrients. Now, just like synthetic vitamins and synthetic minerals, your body cannot assimilate any type of vitamin or mineral. It cannot. It will not absorb it. It will not use it. Your body is natural. That's like putting a real orange seed, that's like putting a plastic seed inside fertile ground. It's not going to grow. The fertile ground can't do nothing with that plastic seed. It's plastic. So when you look at synthetic vitamins and minerals, just think of that as plastic vitamins and minerals that's going inside your natural body that it takes out. Actually, it takes the natural supplements out of your body to even pass that synthetic vitamin and mineral outside your body. So it's doing more harm than good. This is another reason why I'm against milk. They fortify milk with calcium that extracts the real calcium out of your bones and connect it to that so that the body can extract it out. So this is why you see people with major arthritis or osteoporosis, they have the hump on their back, they're major milk drinkers, and they haven't gotten it yet that, hey, You need to stop drinking the milk because this is causing you to lose the calcium. If milk was really a great calcium supplement type of drink, then why is it that elders who've been drinking it all their lives are put on synthetic calcium medications? Think about it, okay? So when you see something that says enriched, leave it alone. What they have done is they have taken out the good nutrients and replaced it with bad synthetic nutrients that your body will not absorb anyway. Okay, the next bad word that was used in those ingredients in the bread department was bleached flour. Now, it is what it sounds like, bleached flour. When flour is first milled, it has a yellowish color to it that consumers generally find unappealing. You know, if you see your bread on the shelf and it looks yellow instead of white, you're going to be like, ew, something wrong with that bread, and you will not buy it. Therefore, the company that made the bread will not make any money because you find that color unappealing, even though that's the natural state of fresh bread. If the flour is stored and allowed to age naturally for several months, the color will fade. However, most flour producers find that storing large amounts of flour for long periods of time is too expensive. Instead, they choose to whiten their flour with a chemical bleaching agent such as benzoyl peroxide. So when you are eating bleached flour, which is always found in wheat bread as well as white, you got to read the ingredients, you are eating a bread that has been chemically bleached with benzoyl peroxide. If you don't think benzoyl peroxide is something appealing to consume, then I would not eat any food that has it, okay? So remember, bleached flour, bad word. Anything that has it in the ingredients, put it back on the shelf. Now, here is my favorite topic that I'm going to probably spend a good amount of time on. High fructose corn syrup. Now, I'm talking to you. Today is April the 25th, 2009. And recently, the commercials have pulled... I don't know who sponsored these commercials, but this particular commercial, oh my goodness, it was the dumbest thing I ever seen on TV when I was really watching. Actually, I saw this when I was in the gym because the gym, the TV on in the gym is such a major distraction. But while I was in there changing, this commercial was playing where they had two teenagers was sitting in the park. One of them pulled out a ice cream. It looked like a dreamsicle. It was red or something like that. Icicle. That's what it was. He pulled out an icicle, and the girl looks at the guy and says, "Is that an icicle?" He was like, "Yeah, it's good. You want some?" And she says, "Isn't it filled with high fructose corn syrup?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she says, "Isn't high fructose corn syrup bad for you?" And he goes, "What's so bad about it?" And she has a dumb moment where she goes, well, I don't know. And he says, "See, you got to watch what you read out there. Here's one for you." And both of the dumb start eating the icicle so high with high fructose corn syrup because she didn't understand the side effects, and he made it seem like it was okay to eat. And I'm going to tell you just how I am. When that commercial was playing and she was silent saying, I was yelling out the answers. So when he said, "Well, what's so bad about high fructose corn syrup?" I said, "It causes binge eating. It's a contributor to diabetes. It also raises cholesterol." I'm yelling all the answers out and everyone looking at me like, "That's right. High fructose corn syrup does cause those things." But when you watch this commercial and you are not informed, you too assume that high fructose corn syrup is good for you. And finally, they had enough complaints for people who are in the know, parents as well as health health legislators, they pulled that stupid commercial off the air, but the damage is already done because a lot of people think high fructose corn syrup is good for you, and it's not really bad because it's another form of sugar. Let me tell you something, folks. If you had to choose between pure white sugar, I mean regular sugar off the table, and high fructose corn syrup, you want to know what is the lesser evil? The white sugar. And that says a lot, because white sugar is really bad for you. But high fructose corn syrup, that is really bad. I mean, that's really bad, okay? So if you had to choose between the two, I would pick the white sugar. Actually, I wouldn't pick either one of them, but if you had to choose between which is one is the worst, white sugar or high fructose corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup is by far the worst. Now let's talk about high fructose corn syrup for a second, all right? First of all, you probably want to know, what is high fructose corn syrup? High fructose corn syrup is produced by processing cornstarch to yield glucose and then processing the glucose to produce a high percentage of fructose. In other words, it's white cornstarch that is turned into a crystal clear syrup, okay? Now, high fructose corn syrup is found in a lot of things. And I mean, when I was picking up items off of the shelf, I realized, gee whiz, this has got everything. High fructose corn syrup, this, high fructose corn syrup, that. It just was all in the ingredients. Now, while there seems to be a difference between glucose and fructose to the average, there doesn't seem to be a big difference between glucose and high fructose corn syrup to the average consumers, but there is a big difference on how these type of sugars is treated in your body. Scientists have discovered that high fructose corn syrup acts very differently in our bodies because the body doesn't use high fructose corn syrup. All right? Understand what it means when you take anything that has high fructose corn syrup, the body's not using it. There's no nutritional value to high fructose corn syrup. All right? So when you eat foods that have high fructose corn syrup, it goes right to the liver, and the liver is the one that converts it. Now, when high fructose corn syrup, because remember, it's bypassing the digestive system because the body can't assimilate it. There's no nutrients in it, so it's going to go to the liver. Now, the liver has two different conversions for fructose. The first is that it has to change the high fructose corn syrup into glucose and use it for energy, and the second option is that it can change the high fructose corn syrup into fat. There's an increasing amount of research out there that shows that the liver finds it much easier to change high fructose corn syrup into fat instead of energy. So this is how high fructose corn syrup makes us fat, because the liver says, look, if I got to turn this into energy for the person to sustain itself for the rest of the day or turn it into fat, it's easy for me to turn it into fat. And then that's how high fructose corn syrup makes you fat. Stay away from it. Now, consuming high fructose corn syrup appeals to lead to insulin insensitivity. And it's actually high fructose corn syrup leads to insulin insensitivity easier than any other sugar out there. All right? Insulin insensitivity, along with added weight gain, is a recipe for what? Diabetes. High fructose corn syrup also appears to create harmful proteins in the body called glycated proteins. These proteins are damaged proteins and may lead to a wide variety of diseases such as kidney disease, heart disease, and any type of degenerative illnesses and diseases out there. Fructose also contributes to high blood pressure, hypertension, obesity, and a variety of other diseases. But the main thing high fructose corn syrup contributes to is binging. For some reason, when you eat foods that are high in high fructose corn syrup, you just don't get the brain does not get the message that your stomach is full. Now, let's talk about the side effects of high fructose corn syrup. One of the side effects to high fructose corn syrup is the high insulin levels. Now, high insulin levels are the root cause of nearly every chronic disease, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, aging, arthritis, and osteoporosis out there, okay? You name it and you will find raised insulin levels to be the primary factor. Unlike glucose, high fructose corn syrup does not stimulate insulin secretion, which acts as one of the several hormones that tells the body it has eaten enough. Also, when there is more high fructose corn syrup available than insulin, the body's cells can absorb less vitamins and minerals. Now, the second side effects to consuming foods that has high fructose corn syrup in it, weight gain. And I've explained to you how weight gain contributes to how high fructose corn syrup contributes to weight gain. The third is empty calories. There are no vitamins, minerals, or enzymes in high fructose corn syrup, so it takes micronutrients from the body as it assimilates itself for use. Now, do not confuse the fresh fructose in fruit with high fructose corn syrup. That is the liquid version in your foods. Fructose from fruit is good for you. It has vitamins, it has minerals, and it definitely have enzymes that digest itself. Fruit is so great for you. I'm going to do a segment on the healthy benefits of fruit. I just cannot tell you how great it is. But I'm talking about raw fruit, not cooked fruit. Okay, cooked fruit is just pure sugar, but raw fruit is very, 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 very good for you. Okay, fresh fruits contains the vitamin, minerals, and the enzymes that high fructose corn syrup lacks, and the fruit and these nutrients are much needed and is assimilated in the body. Corn is a grain. Corn is not a fruit and it's not a vegetable. And many Americans have made high fructose corn syrup their main staple of their diet, which causes anemia, cavities, osteoarthritis, and other health problems. Now, it also, the fourth side effects is also causes liver and pancreas problem. A diet loaded with high fructose corn syrup not only intensifies the obesity epidemic, it also harms organs like your liver and your pancreas, leading to bone loss, anemia, and heart problems. Speaking of heart, side effect number 5, heart and immune system. High fructose corn syrup can interfere with the heart uses of minerals such as magnesium, copper, chromium, and it inhibits the actions of the immune system, white blood cells. You need your white blood cells to kill off diseases and illnesses, even bacteria, anything that attacks the body. Well, high fructose corn syrup inhibits these actions that are produced by your thymus gland, which is the organ that's responsible for your immune system. High fructose corn syrup also is also known to raise triglycerides significantly, especially in men, and this can lead to heart problems. So men who have a lot of high fructose corn syrup are more susceptible to having heart problems. Side effect number 6, cholesterol. High fructose corn syrup has been shown to elevate blood cholesterol levels, which leads to plaque in the arteries and also is one of the causes for heart attacks. Okay? Now, when you go to the doctor, because his limited understanding of nutrients and food, They don't tell you to stay away from, if you have, if your cholesterol level is high, they don't tell you to stay away from foods that are high in high fructose corn syrup. They tell you to eat oatmeal, take this medication for to lower your cholesterol, and then see us later. They don't tell you about the meats that are full of fat, bad fat, and they don't tell you about high fructose corn syrup, amongst other things that causes your cholesterol level to escalate. The seventh and last side effect I'm going to talk about, because there's many out there, is that high fructose corn syrup really affects the metabolism. Most high fructose corn syrup is consumed as liquid and is metabolized to fat faster than any other sugar. So liquid, most of the time it is in liquid form, the high fructose corn syrup, and then therefore it makes the body and the liver more likely to turn it into fat than any other sugar, like your brown sugar, your honey. Those things are more safe than high fructose corn syrup. Now, when it does this, this greatly increases the negative effect to the metabolism, and the devastation to our bodies would be drastically reduced if it were consumed in solid food form. All right. Unfortunately, it's hard to escape this harmful additive in our foods today. It is basically it's found in basically everything that we eat. Basically, now I'm going to teach you in part two of the foods you choose that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. High fructose corn syrup is not natural and is not safe for consumption. It's made from cornstarch and it is far from safe. Your high fructose corn syrup is found in 95% of your soft drinks. It's found in 90% of your fruit juices. It's found in your baked goods, canned fruits, which you should never eat is canned fruits, and I'm going to go on that in part two. It's found in your gum. It's found in jams and jellies and preservatives, and it's just found in most of your food. And if you want to know what is the main side effect of high fructose corn syrup, the main side effect of high fructose corn syrup is a shorter, unhealthy life. Point blank. Now, also, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to end it. This is going to be part one. Tomorrow we'll have part two. And part two is going to deal with the foods that we should avoid and the foods that we should buy that are more healthy to sustain our life for longer periods of time and for a healthy lifespan. Now, you may find foods that have the word high fructose corn syrup in it or corn syrup. Guess what? Corn syrup is another name for high fructose corn syrup. All right? They're just the same. But because high fructose corn syrup gives a red flag to many of us who know better, they shorten it to just corn syrup. It's the same. High fructose corn syrup, both are bad words. All right? Now, this concludes part one. Tune in tomorrow for part two, and we will begin to educate you. I think, to me, it sounds like this is going to be part three, maybe in a part four to this broadcast, because I haven't even got on the food yet. I'm just giving you the bad words that you should find in the ingredients. So tune in tomorrow for our next broadcast on grocery shopping the healthy way. This is Dr. Akilah, and I'll see you later. Take care. Bye-bye.